Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, or if it's your first time with us, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. And let's get to that. This week, that movie is in question. The Terry Gilliam 1988 action adventure fantasy, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. This film actually stars John Neville, Eric Idle, and a very young Sarah Polley, and a slew of others, including Uma Thurman and Robin Williams.
And Sting.
And Sting.
Jonathan Reed. Price.
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah, it goes on and on.
Jack Purvis.
Right, okay. Yeah. Oliver, lots of folks.
Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Oliver Reed. I have something to say about that. Yeah. So if you've seen this film, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree. Or, hey, if not, listen anyway. See if it's something you might want to queue up yourself.
You will.
You know what I'm saying. That's the way this game is played. So here we are once again, and I am Michael, as always. And to my left, some introductions. We're talking about James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know, no one stole my knickers this week and made a balloon out of them.
That's good.
Didn't get my nose lopped off.
Good.
And what else did I not do, Max?
You didn't get shot out of a cannon?
Didn't get shot out of... Oh, no.
Didn't get swallowed by a
whale?
That's
better, because I did get shot out of a cannon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about that.
I forgot about that.
We have Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear, to your left, Savage. There he sits.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that. I love it. You know what I like. I call it snark. I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, so there you are, man. You ready to talk about this film?
I am. Ready to go. Good to go. Yeah.
Well, we'll launch this.
I'm thinking maybe not.
Well, that's the big mystery, right?
There you go.
That is the flavor and the essence of this show.
Right.
What is it that we thought? How about Max Gumbo Johnson? He's to my right.
How about that, Max Gumbo Johnson?
Yeah, there you are.
How about that guy?
Yeah. I like it. He shows up every week, too.
He shows up. Yeah.
On time.
Usually early.
And he's always so busy.
I know. Gosh.
Busy.
The producer, look at him. He's over there. And by the way, this is Jolly Roger Studio version 2.0.
Yeah.
So there's the producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hey.
This adventurous Q Filmcast. So that's us. And once again, the Q Filmcast. And let's talk about how to keep up with us.
Let's do that.
You know, you can go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to iTunes.
Yeah.
YouTube, whatever you want. But I say you go to theqfilmcast.net. You're right. You want to go there. That's right. Theqfilmcast.net. That's our website. You go there. You can find out more about the show. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. That's what we're talking about here. And let's get into this. 1988, Terry Gilliam. You know, if you review films long enough, he's going to pop up like a whack-a-mole.
Sure.
Sometime or another.
Yeah.
And this is it. Selected by James Hardsub Savage.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen this before?
I have.
Yeah, probably.
I have.
It's been a long time.
Not too long, though.
A couple weeks.
Nah, a little longer than that. Within the year, though.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a film that you like. It goes back for you. So here it is on Netflix, and you say, hey, let's talk about this.
Yep.
Did you know that people who liked this film also liked City of Lost Children?
Love that one.
That one.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. Love that one.
Yeah.
Gosh, we've had a lot of requests for that.
That's on Netflix now, too.
That may be one to possibly pull out.
Yeah.
Right?
I never pull out.
That's why you have Big Trouble in Little China.
You stay out of Little China, or you will have a City of Lost Children. Boy, we just zipped that right up, didn't we? We're keeping that, by the way.
Okay.
They also liked Willow, and hold on to your happy hat, Max. They liked Ghostbusters 2.
Not the first one.
I find that so odd.
That is pretty weird.
Strange.
People who liked this film hated Ghostbusters, but they loved Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, I guess it's the painting guy.
As they all do, this film inspired a top three, and they all do that.
Yes.
Give us a place to go at the end of the show.
Sure.
Something inspired that we can talk about. And this is no different. Top three adventures, or should we call it something else?
I thought we were going
Fantastical Adventures.
Yeah. Fantastical Adventures. Yeah. I knew that there was an adjective in there somewhere.
Fantastical Adventures.
So let's get into the film. I think we've already brushed across this piece of information, written and directed by Terry Gilliam. I don't think a whole lot of introduction is necessary. You think, Cody?
No, everybody should know this guy.
Like what? What films?
Monty Python.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, first and
12
foremost.
12 Monkeys.
Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He did that movie with the tree on the cover and the girl. Tideland.
I've never seen that.
I never saw that one either.
Yeah.
He's got a new one coming
out. Bandits.
Time Bandits,
for sure.
Did he direct Life of Brian and Holy Grail and all those?
He directed Holy Grail and The Meaning of Life.
Yeah.
Just the animated sequences and Meaning of Life.
Don't forget about Fisher King.
Yeah. Absolutely, Fisher King.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we know this guy, Terry Gilliam. This is another one of his vanity pieces. This is one that...
I don't know. I don't know if it qualifies for that.
Well, yes, it's very, very Gilliam-y.
It is that.
Yeah. Film stars John Neville. You know him from this. A bunch of X-Files and The Fifth Element. You know, I looked at this guy. He's so old in the film, I figured there'd be a ton of work. This was one of his first real jobs. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I found that interesting. This is like his first starring role. I found that somewhat intriguing. IMDb, Savage. What do you think IMDb gave this film?
98.
You're using the wrong scale.
Backwards.
9.8.
No, it's 7.2.
I was wrong.
Not bad. That's not a rotten score.
No, it's not. No, it's not a rotten movie.
Well, let's talk about Rotten Tomatoes. Max, what do you think Rotten Tomatoes gave this film?
93%.
93% from the critics.
89% from the users.
82% from the users. Not bad.
I need to get better at that.
He was on a bit of a roll for a while. He's slipping.
Old age.
Right.
Let's talk about the film. Let's talk about what this film's about. We're going to take a quick trailer.
Sure.
Listen to a piece of the film. We're going to come back. Talk about it. All right? The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
The Adventures. Yes.
Director Gilliam applies his Monty Python sensibility, Savage.
Yeah. It is the only American sensibility in Monty Python.
Well, he applies them. He certainly does here, upon the career of famed German provocateur Baron von Munchausen, who is a baron who we see flying into the stratosphere on the back of a cannonball, ballooning to the moon, exploring the innards of a volcano, being swallowed by a whale, and quelling a war that he himself has started. In short, all of Munchausen's fabulous lies are here presented as truth, played out in full view of non-plaused witnesses Eric Idle, Charles McCowan, Jack Purvis, and Sarah Polley. Fringe benefits of the film include several loving medium shots of Jaybird naked Uma Thurman as Botticelli's Venus, an extended unbilled cameo by Robin Williams. That is by the head of Robin Williams. Let's make that clear.
Right.
As King of the Moon. Filmed under considerable duress on a budget eventually exceeding $45 million, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen never quite caught on with moviegoers, though it has enjoyed a lucrative afterlife on videocassette and DVD, as well as a devoted following. So that is the film we're going to get into tonight, 1988, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. So we're going to take a break, listen to a piece of the film, possibly a trailer. We'll come back, let you know what we thought.
From the director of Time Bandits and Brazil, a new movie full of noise. Flying objects. Seafood. Celebrities. Honor. Compassion. Travel. Gravity. Whoa. He was full of it. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, a true story.
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, 1988, written and directed by Terry Gilliam. That's what that was, a little piece of that. I think it was a trailer, I do believe. Aren't they all? Let's talk a little bit about the film, though, before we get into what we thought of it, our ratings. Little facts, little figures. Gumbo, did you know that John Neville was unable to read or eat properly because of the size of his huge prosthetic nose?
I did not know that.
Well, interesting fact, huh?
I can believe it.
That was fake?
Yeah. Do you think he stayed in character the whole time, too, and kept it on?
I would hope so.
And just didn't eat?
They would have to.
Yeah, one more thing. Oh, here's something interesting. Producer, were you aware that this was Uma Thurman's first acting job?
Yes, I was.
She also belongs to the very short list of actors who were hired on their very first audition. The role of King of the Moon was actually intended for Sean Connery until the role was largely cut. Sean Connery didn't think it was a kingly enough role. Thus, the role was played by Robin Williams. But Gene Wilder and Walter Matthau were also considered. Sarah Polley, 9 years old at the time, said she did not enjoy making The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Hmm.
She recalled this experience as traumatic. She said it definitely left me with a few scars. It was just so dangerous. There were so many explosions going off all around me, which is traumatic to a kid, whether dangerous or not. She did not like being frozen in water for long periods of time, working endless hours. She said it was physically grueling and unsafe.
Suck it up, Sarah.
And had to hang out with Robin Williams.
Right.
Yeah.
Oof. And Uma Thurman.
Yeah. Right. Currency, because you know what, Max? You know this.
Let's, I know.
We don't use thumbs up, thumbs
I
down.
Know.
We don't use stars here. No. Why is that?
Because it's dumb.
It's stupid. Savage, you wanted us to bring that back, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
It is stupid. And today we're going to rate this film with 1 to 10.
Cannonball
Rides. Cannonball Rides.
Cannonball Rides, yeah.
And very conveniently, I'll just go to my left. That's James Hardsub Savage, because he cued it. We're going to review it. And what do you give this? 1 to 10, how many Cannonball
I'm
Rides?
I'm unashamed to say this is a 10. I love this movie.
He loves
I
this film.
I will champion this movie against any oncomers. So on come.
Gird your loins. What's wrong, Max? Sometimes I wish we did a video cast, because right. That was funny. 10 for you, man.
Yeah, 10 Cannonball Rides. I love this film. It, for what it is and what it achieves to do, I don't think you can do it better.
No, I can hear what you're saying there. Right. Let's get into that here in a minute. You may have to gird your loins just a bit, because we're going over to Hoodie. I'm very curious. I have no idea. 1 to 10 what?
I'm kind of torn. Maybe you guys can bring me up between a 3 and a 4.
Mm. You're down there.
It was awful.
Yeah, didn't launch.
Nope. Had Robin Williams. It was creative, but just didn't go anywhere at all. Fell asleep 3 times. It took me a week to watch it.
Really?
Yeah. But what do you do?
You know, I sensed your aura. I sensed your essence, and I was kind of picking that up.
Oh, I've been told it's orange.
Really? No, orange. It's kind of more of an earth tone, kind of an off brown kind of thing.
Oh,
maybe that's not your essence. But let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. You know what the game is here: 1 to 10 Cannonball Rides. What?
I'm not gonna go as low as Matt. I'm gonna go about a 5. I'm like Matt. I struggled to watch this movie. I literally had to turn it on 3 times to get all the way through it.
Right. Interesting. Okay, well, we can get into that for sure. The producer, what you got? What?
As much as I love Terry Gilliam films, this is just halfway there. It's only a 5 for me.
Okay, so we got a 5. We got
rough
a...
night for a change.
I know. I'm astounded. You guys are insane.
Yeah, but if you morphed Max and Adam, you get a 10.
Yeah.
yeah, that was there you go. Stupid. 2 5s, you got a 10. Hoodie, you gave what, a 4?
3.
3. Well, you're way down
we
there.
We might bring him up to a 4.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to go 6. I will say this, though. You know, it's a very creative film. I would say that it does reinforce my track record of seeing a Gilliam film and going, I wish it was just a little less Gilliam-y.
Thank you. That's exactly it.
But it is creative. Savage, you might talk me up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but we'll see what happens. I'm going 6 there.
That's 29, by the way.
29? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Savage.
Yes.
You like this film, but you're a theatrical guy.
Yep.
We all agree this is a very savagey kind of film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Appeals to our inner savage.
Yeah.
There was a stage, right?
Yeah.
Right at the opening.
So.
You're right.
I like the opening, actually. Yeah. But go ahead and talk about this film. Why did you give this such a high rating?
Well, because it is so fantastical and it is so whimsical. It never takes itself seriously. I think the craft work is taken very seriously. I think what Terry Gilliam does as a filmmaker, no one else does. Nobody even approximates what he does. And admittedly, I do have a bias for theatrically based films. I think we've, in the past year, we've learned that if there's a stage in a proscenium, James is probably going to like that film.
Right. Well, speaking as a thespian.
Right. Now, the film I love. I think it's just delightfully whimsical and fantastical, and every absurdity just mm-hmm. builds on itself, and it's just delightful and lovely to me. It just keeps going and down this rabbit hole of wonder, and it never apologizes for it, and it takes itself seriously in its storytelling.
I love it. I don't know why I got five haters around or four haters around me. Somebody tell me why you hate it so I can tell you why you're wrong.
We'll get there. I wouldn't say I hate.
No, you didn't hate.
I did. It's like a good pair of shoes with a rock in it. It's just a little uncomfortable. A tad bit.
That are really ugly and you can't walk in them.
You kind of see what I'm saying. There's just something that rubs me wrong, but it's a nice pair of shoes. don't know. Matthew St. Hoodie, follow that up, man. You gave this a pretty low score, 3, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about that. Why?
It was just too much of everything, I think. I feel like, you know, directing, you're saying that he sculpts the 3D world and he just shows you all this interesting stuff. I don't think any of it's really all that interesting. I feel like it's just kind of thrown in to look interesting and doesn't really serve a purpose for the most part. I feel like I've seen most of the stuff before, as absurd as that sounds to say, because this is the most absurd stuff you can put together. He really just like picked things out of jars and said, let's just make a character out of that. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And that doesn't fly with me at all. but the reason I didn't like it, fell asleep 3 times, took me all week to watch it. It was just too much fantasy, just too much, too much.
Top heavy.
It was just too much.
Yeah. No, I think Max brought up something earlier. I think it slipped out of the bag possibly a couple of days ago. Overindulgence. And that is a knock.
Self-indulgence.
Self-indulgence. Gumbo, what you got?
I think it was a bit self-indulgent. I don't know what his films had been budgeted at before this, but this was a pretty high budget for somebody like Gilliam.
Yeah.
And maybe he just had the idea, I'm just going to go all out and just make this as weird and as Gilliam-esque as I possibly can. And it's like one of those movies where you sit there watching it and you're like, okay, when does this thing start?
Well, yeah, where's the story?
When does it start? I'm waiting. It took like literally an hour and 20 minutes before I was like, okay, I'm kind of grasping onto something here that I can be interested in, kind of follow along with, and I'm kind of wanting to see what happens. That feeling lasted 20 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I'm back to not caring. I'm just like Matt. I got about 45 minutes in, fell asleep. Got about an hour and a half in for a second time, fell asleep again. I went and looked on IMDb and looked at the message boards, and I was like, okay, somebody else has got to feel the same way. And there was a guy on there that said, look, I didn't hate the movie. I don't see what so everybody thinks is so great about it. I fell asleep over and over and over, and this guy gave it to me to DVD, and I feel bad because he searched it down and gave it to me, and I keep falling asleep. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of the responders kept saying, it's just one of those polarizing movies. You either like it or you don't. And I kind of came down to the conclusion, I guess I'm one of the guys that just didn't like it.
Yeah, you got to have that theatrical vein, I think that's for sure.
I don't know what you got to have. Maybe that's it. Yeah. It just seems so...
long-winded.
Yeah, it's a two-hour movie, and an hour and a half in, I'm like, God, is this thing over yet? It feels like I've been watching it for two...
But even the scenes, you know, going back to the directing, sorry to interrupt, but the scenes didn't have, like, the right cutoff points. They just went on and on and on. It's like, that would have been a good place to cut it, but they just keep dragging out and giving you no new information.
Especially one scene in particular.
There was a bunch of scenes.
That's a good point.
I want to know what the producer thinks of this film. He went straight down the middle, I do believe, 5. Am I correct?
Yep.
You launched 5 cannonballs at us. Back it up. Why?
Back in high school, when I fell in love with Monty Python, I was like, everything Terry Gilliam did, I was in it. I was ready to watch it, and I loved it when I was in high school, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in forever, and finally just watched it the other day. It just lost a lot of that charm for me, and I couldn't get it back at all. It just wasn't there for me at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as easy as I can put it.
Well, I think there's several scenes that we can key in on here, focus in on, and we'll figure out why they either made us go one way or another.
I think a lot of Terry Gilliam's movies are like that, too. It was the same way with me for even 12 Monkeys, which I adored in high school. Brazil, loved it the first time I saw it, and revisiting them.
I still love those, too.
Brazil's my favorite one of his, but they still lose something every time I see it. I don't know why.
Same thing with me. Even Fisher King, which I liked a lot. It's almost like it's just a little less Gilliam. Maybe more Paprika. I have no idea. Here's what I thought of this film. You know, I think you're 100% right, though, as far as overindulgence. He just kind of slashes and burns his way through the entire film. It's like, I am Gilliam. I am here to stay. This is what I do, you know. But I do kind of feel like they're almost too Gilliam-y. But at the same time, they are charming. They're all charming. This was charming to me, especially from the language, which you talk about theater and films.
Yeah.
You know, I'm typically not attracted to that. When I'm looking at theater and film, I don't like the way it hits my ear. It just feels like it's misplaced. Here, that beginning, I think I mentioned earlier, I like the beginning. The setup was good. I like the performances in this film all the way across the board. I thought the opening sequence where they're on stage in that great language and just the way it's kind of brought to me.
Yeah.
Very warm. And it's very adventuresome and it's very curious and wondrous. I wanted to know where this thing was going. But like I say, I don't generally gravitate to that. So to its credit, I think to Gilliam's credit, he knows how to do that, to create the big idea, the big picture. The thing about this film, though, as much as I liked this scene, that scene, this set, because these are massive sets.
Yeah.
And the thing I do like is that looking back, they're very clear to me. You know, sometimes you think back of a movie and you can't zero in on something. All of these sets are very clear in my mind. I mean, they're very well put together. And they stayed with me. Performances were strong. I liked what the piece is here, okay? But it felt like eight different films. It felt like eight different little segments. You have this one. Okay, now we're going to move over here. We're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. Strung together as a cohesive story, it just didn't hold. As much as I liked the parts put together, it didn't really sing for me. Great pieces, but then all these say what moments come up, like the overplayed, like say what, you know, what. But it is a great production, well acted, ridiculously ambitious, almost too ambitious. It's
way,
like,
yeah, way too much.
Yeah, it's like I like a cheeseburger, but I don't want three or four of them rammed down my throat.
I love the ambition of this film.
All that said, Savage, you know, I do give it credit for being a film that gave me a lot I can reference back to.
Yeah.
I think it's very well made. I mean, he squeezes this thing out, every little piece of it, and for the most part, what I'm looking at works. What I'm hearing works. The performances work. Put together. Didn't really work so much.
Well, you know, not to interrupt Hoodie's line, but the...
but that's it. I'm done with it.
I think a lot of that is the subject matter. You say it's written and directed by Terry Gilliam, and I guess the screenplay is written by Terry Gilliam, but yeah. Baron Munchausen is a very well-known and well-reviewed historical figure.
Okay.
And these things are his exploits. That has been told over and over. So the going to see the King of the Moon, being swallowed by the whale, riding the cannonball, fighting the Turks. These are Munchausen's adventures.
But they're all good abstract, I think. They're good ideas abstract.
Right.
But to see it as Gilliam presents it, I think, is, again, it's just too overwhelming. And it's just too much. That's it.
Well, and I'm picking up that thread. It's like I'm seeing, and that... What y'all are saying is too much is what endears me to the film.
Okay.
It's the ambition. It's the grandiosity of it all. It's the bombast. I love all of that.
Yeah.
I love it. There's just not enough of that in filmmaking for me.
Right.
Other than now with CGI and stuff, you know, with the Lord of the Rings and things like that.
Well, I mean, you could go into like Wes Anderson movies and say the same thing about his attention to detail and set and color and even the way he's filming. I mean, and he's one of my favorites. I love the guy.
But there's not the same sense of whimsy and fantasy.
Yeah, there is.
Jim Henson.
Well, Jim Henson, I'll give you that, but, you know, you're using Muppets and stuff. So.
Right. Yeah, but right. Wes Anderson's more grounded in reality. I think maybe that's how I can grab on to him.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that as much as what Gilliam does, as he's not interested in the reality that we all know. He's interested in creating another reality and then showing it to you. And I dig that. I just love the audacity of what he attempts to do.
No, I'm with you on that. You know, you bring up a point that maybe I hadn't considered. You're saying, well, this is Munchausen. These are kind of known fables.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had that reference point, maybe I wouldn't be grasping for, okay, tell me more to why I should be interested in this guy. Who is this guy? Give me a backstory. There wasn't
American
much.
Paul Bunyan.
Was he the American Paul Bunyan?
Pretty much.
I had no idea.
No, he was.
Is Uma Thurman the Babe of the
American.
Blue Ox?
He wasn't American.
I was thinking it sounded kind of British.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I got what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
They're kind of a kind of known fairy tales, fables.
Yeah.
If I had a bit of that, maybe I'd have focused in more on the other things. But that bothered me that I couldn't grab onto the characters.
Yeah. Now, as a narrative strung together, I can see where somebody may have a problem with it. It's like, how are all of these things being related? But as you got to string them together, because this is the story of Munchausen. This is what Munchausen did.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, it's kind of an adapted screenplay to a degree.
Yeah.
And there have been many Munchausen films. There's like seven or eight Munchausen films.
Yeah. You know what we need to do? Let's take a break right now. Listen to a piece of 1988 The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, written and directed by Terry Gilliam. We're going to come back, talk to Gumbo.
Okay.
That's okay.
We were done.
We're going to come back, talk to Gumbo, hear what he has to say about a few things, scenes, get into a couple details on this film, and we'll be back in a second.
Act of flesh. Just...
Who is this?
I've no idea. Some old lunatic.
He's Baron Munchausen.
Oh, I see. The real Baron Munchausen.
Yes, indeed. Who, sir, may I ask you?
A public servant. I am responsible for, among other things, the licensing of this theater.
This, sir, is the right ordinary Horatio Jackson, who just happens to be winning the war and saving the city. Pah! Now, please, leave us.
He's an ass. Only I can end this war.
Explain yourself.
I can end it because I began it. I am the cause.
I'm afraid, sir, you have rather a weak grasp of reality.
Your reality, sir, is lies and balderdash, and I'm delighted to say that I have no grasp of it whatsoever.
And we're back. That is a piece of The Adventure.
And we're back.
And we're back, folks. Turn up your radio.
The cannonball has landed.
The cannonball has landed, and it's landed right on Max Gumbo Johnson's head, because we're going to talk to him. Wake-up call for you, buddy. Baron Munchausen, 1988, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some scenes, Max, because I think you've zeroed in on a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pull them apart. I want to talk about them. Let's get into it. Talk about a scene that either rubbed you right, rubbed you wrong, but you want to talk about.
I'll give you a couple both. Hated the opening.
Why?
Absolutely hated it. It was so annoying. It's that, oh, look at us bumbling fools. We're supposed to be professionals, and everything's so overacted, and he's swinging his sword around and cutting people's heads off. And
with the stupid sound effect, boing.
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 And I was like, oh, my awesome. God, this is terrible.
I like that.
You're I hope wrong. This gets better. Oh, it was just, and it, the opening setup was way too long. It was 20 minutes.
Yep.
I'm like, God, get on with it.
It's my favorite 20 minutes.
Oh, that was my least favorite 20. Okay. Second least favorite 20 minutes, maybe. Okay, another problem I had, they're in the balloon ship. Lightning strikes them. They lose the balloon, land in the ocean, fades out. They're on the moon.
Made no sense.
Yeah, there was a lot that just
How did they get to the moon?
Yeah.
We have to use your imagination, Max.
I guess so. I guess I have to be impish and whimsical.
Yes, you do.
That was a nice scene, though.
Yeah.
With the stars and the water. That
was
nice. That was nice.
That was well done.
Absolutely.
It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
But it was pretty to look at.
But you remember it, like I said.
I do.
There's a lot you remember about this film.
Right.
Hated the moon sequence.
I didn't like it.
It's the worst part of the whole thing.
Hated it. Robin Williams... being Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Awful.
Ugh.
I feel like someone's cracking a whip and back. I'm going, dance, boy, dance, be Robin Williams.
In fairness, that's my least favorite part of this. I love the 2D animation when they land on the moon, though. The classic Gilliam Monty Python animation where it's closing in on the ship. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the buildings and stuff?
Yeah,
yeah. If they would have had the actual animation, but it looked like an actual set of these things closing in on them.
It looked a little high school play to me.
I think that was intentional.
It absolutely was,
yeah. I think that was totally intentional. But I hated the whole Robin Williams.
No.
I hated it. Hated it.
Okay, well, get into this a bit. Do you feel like it was too long? Was it too overhyped?
It was
too
long.
Robin Williams?
It was annoying. Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't funny.
Yeah, it was funny for about 10 seconds.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Maybe 10 seconds.
No.
You're going to give it 3.
And then it was like, oh, okay, that's enough. That a little Robin Williams goes a long way.
It's like cayenne.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's enough. I can't take anymore.
It actually got to the point where it made me slightly uncomfortable for him. It's like,
that's where he takes it every time.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, God, it's enough. It's just enough, enough, enough.
Yeah.
But the best part of that was when they were doing the fake sexual
innuendos.
Well, you actually see him tickling her feet. That was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. It was clever.
Because he was tickling her feet?
It's too little too late.
Yeah. Too little too late.
That was the best part of Robin Williams.
And him eating the fruit was just disgusting. I hated it. Hated it.
Do you think a lot of that was ad-libbed? I got the feeling that there was no script for
all of it was.
I bet you all of it was. I tell you, the best part of the movie for me was the volcano segment.
Yeah, Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed stole that movie.
Thank you for saying it. Completely on board with you. And by the way,
the best part about it.
If you don't know who Oliver Reed is, he's a very good actor. I remember him.
One of the best.
From Gladiator. He played
his last role.
What was the name of the character in Gladiator he played?
The guy behind the guy.
The guy behind the guy. He stole a lot of scenes in Gladiator. That was him. Yeah, he was great in this film.
I love Oliver Reed. Love that guy. Proximo. And he's completely stole every scene he was in.
Yeah, that's my standout scene.
Even when he was being kind of goofy, he pulled it off well. Like when he was blinking, trying to give him the sweet look and stuff. I was like, oh,
pouring the tea.
Yeah, that was like, okay, this guy. I like this guy. I like this guy. And then he's so mad. Oh, these are my monsters. These are my tall workers and stuff. And he stands up and he's way taller than
him. Yeah, yeah.
That scene worked. That's where I started to get somewhat pulled in, invested in the film. And then when they left, I was like, I was back in Robin Williams territory.
Yeah, there you go.
I just went straight back down.
You know what? I think I was on the same path as you through this whole film, basically, although I did like the opening. But I just think that it didn't rub me quite as wrong as you, especially when it gets to the Robin Williams stuff. I'm glad you brought up Oliver Reed, though. That was my favorite scene.
That was the best part of the whole movie.
And he looks otherworldly. Every time I see him on screen, he looks like he's from another time, maybe another planet.
Yeah.
He has a great presence.
Sure.
I liked him in this film. What about you, Hoodie? Give me a best scene, worst scene, something you've got to talk about or back max up.
I don't have a scene so much. I do want to say that, you know, as fantastic and as colorful and crazy as this movie was, it maintained like this monotone through the whole, from the beginning through the end.
Yeah.
And as much danger as, you know, Munchausen and his little gang got into, I never felt any tension or danger. It just seemed like they skipped from one danger to the next, to the next, to the next. And nothing was ever really resolved. Mm-hmm. Even the Turks, I mean, there was really no danger, and I think that's one of the biggest problems that I had with it. I can forgive the Dois Tespaki does.
there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, but it's a fairy tale, and that's exactly what you'd expect from a fairy tale. No problem. But there was just nothing really happening to me. That said, I do want him to say that one of my favorite things was that Death was following him around. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yep.
And the first time Death pops up... the little girl throws the candle at him and bursts into flames, and you realize it's a set. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed it. Thought I was in for a good movie.
Like the scrim where...
Do you remember that scene? I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, in the very beginning. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I thought this had elements of, let's make a movie that's going to follow up Princess Bride. You know, you had like the band of misfits out on an adventure. You had the guy that could blow wind. You know what I'm talking about. Man. Yeah. Different kind of blow wind, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
You had the strongest man. You had this band. And I thought, okay, that's what this movie is going to be about. It's going to be kind of a, let's pick up where the Princess Bride left off. Let's go down that kind of road.
Right.
And it left me hanging there. I don't understand why. Why did I not know who these people were?
No, I'll give you that. It's if you didn't understand who they were,
yeah,
it wasn't very well developed, other than it didn't have to be. It was just like, where have you been, Baron?
Well, I'll agree with you on that part. It doesn't really have to be developed. It's like
you kind of got the gist.
You know the gist of it. You know, okay, they're presenting a play about this guy. Apparently people know who this guy is.
Right.
I did get confused though when they had the same actors on the stage playing themselves.
Kind of clever.
No, and after the fact, I really liked it. I thought that added a lot to it, but it was very confusing going in on this call.
I didn't know which one was real. Were they really these?
I think that's half of the story.
These characters
too,
on stage,
you know, like Death blurring the reality and the story or the lie or whatever.
Well, when you get to the end, it's way confusing. It's super confusing. Well, I can't explain it.
Like a good fairy tale.
We're looking at you, James.
Yeah. Well, it's like a good fairy tale. I think it's a open ended. It's what you want, and I like. What you said, Hoodie, with how Death follows him throughout. And if there is an underlying meaningful story other than the fantasy, the whimsy of Munchausen's existence, it's what happens when you fantasy dies, you know, and I think they try to establish that early on age of reason.
Yeah, they talk about that.
Oh, I like that too in the beginning, the age of reason.
Right.
Wednesday.
Right. You know? It's like there's no place for you in this. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a line in this, and I think it sums up the film, and I think it sums up Terry Gilliam as a filmmaker. And Munchausen says to the right ordinary Horatio, whatever, Jonathan Pryce's character, he goes, "Your reality, sir, is lies and balderdash. And I am glad to say I have no part in it."
Yeah, I do recall that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's literally all he is. Yeah. You know what? This film also, I liked it all the way up to the Turk scene with the beheading scene and all that goofy stuff in the beginning. The first real chapter.
Right.
That they threw out, the first real adventure, I guess, where you're introduced to, okay, this guy can run.
The wager.
This guy can blow in. The wager.
Yeah.
That's where I thought, okay, you've set the stage. Now take me home with it.
Right.
They left it on the table. I don't.
Completely.
But that was, when I say like the beginning, I think that's where it peaked and that's where it kind of fell to me. What sustained it to get me to possibly a 7 is the performances. I liked the acting in this. Anybody want to part ways with me on that?
I did not like Eric Idle's performance in this.
Why?
Really?
I love him as a comedian, and he just wasn't funny in here for some reason for me.
Hmm.
And that's what I keep looking for when it comes to Eric Idle. And there was only one part that I actually laughed at him.
What part?
The where he dances in the background.
I don't remember that.
I hated that.
I hated it, too.
I can't remember this.
That's the only part I
thought. Oh, okay, I got you. Yep.
The only part I laughed at as far as Eric Idle was when they got him out of the little prison cage, and he says, "What are you afraid?" And he says, "Oh yeah, that's it. That's the reason."
See, that was too much. He was definitely the strongest part of the whole movie, though.
Kind
Eric
of funny.
Idle.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Oliver Reed was.
Oh, Oliver Reed. Yeah.
The guy in the cage.
Yeah, that's Eric Idle.
That's what I meant.
I thought all the
strongest
sidekicks were really good when they were doing their thing, especially the guy with the eyesight. His little voice was hysterical.
Yeah, wait a second. Was that Robin Williams?
No.
I thought it was.
No, it wasn't Robin.
The guy talked like
you across the room.
Yeah, the guy sounded like he had a voice box.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, to me also, I thought Munchausen was a good performance there. I liked.
Yeah, I like Neville's performance.
I liked his performance.
As he got younger and more vibrant. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so theatrical, which, like I say, usually turns me off, but he's good at that.
Yeah.
He's good at being that guy. And usually I'm not attracted to that guy, but he just kind of sputtered around after half the film. I wish they would have focused in more on him individually. They didn't do that.
I thought it picked up steam toward the end, you know, when he pulls himself up out of the water by his own hair.
That was kind of cool.
I love that.
And he was obviously standing in short water.
Yeah, I just love that, you know. And that
I liked when he cut the rope coming down the moon.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Because he believes he can, and so he does. And then when the horse Bucephalus, Alexander the Great's horse, starts spinning in circles, and he stops lopping off people's head. I love that.
Did you like the big fish, the big sea monster?
That's real Monty Python stuff, though.
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it? I mean,
it looked like Monty Python. The movie really looked like Monty Python.
Well, there's a reason.
I know. It hasn't been said yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you just established it.
Thank you. But
going back to Eric Idle, Eric Idle didn't really like being a part of this film either.
Why is that?
Well, because he knows Terry. I mean, he and Terry are friends, and he's like, don't work on a Terry Gilliam film. Watch him, but don't work on it because he's crazy.
I think I have the exact opposite reaction. I'd love to work on a set. You know they're fun. You know there's a great caterer involved. Long nights.
Yeah.
Big laughs.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
And it does not sound fun.
No, it sounds fun to me.
You would hate it.
Right.
You know, I think there's
his friends are saying don't work with him.
Right.
Yeah, maybe so.
He's a madman.
Hoodie, I would never say that about you, and we are friends.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I want to pose this question to you because I think that I actually looked on a lot of message boards, too. The overarching theme and the overarching opinion is that it's too long. There's just too much here. It's like a junk drawer full of too much stuff. Might be good stuff, but it's too full. If you had to remove something from this film, if you had to remove a 10-minute segment or one of these chapters, which one would you get rid of?
The moon.
Robin Williams.
The moon?
The moon.
Robin Williams on the moon. I like going to the moon. I like the concept of it.
So keep everything and just re-edit the thing. You don't need all these long scenes to go nowhere.
Would that bump you up a whole point?
Nope.
Okay. I'm trying to see what would bump you on, Putty.
I didn't hate any of the segments, per se, of what they did. They just went on too long. Yeah. I don't need 20 minutes of the moon. I don't need 20 minutes of the whale. I don't need 20 minutes of the final battle on the beach.
But you wanted 20 minutes of Oliver Reed.
I would have taken a whole. I would have taken an hour and a half of Oliver Reed.
Right, but that 20 minutes is showcasing, you know, his style and his sensibility and his artwork and his theme behind everything, and that's why it just drags and drags.
What about you, producer? If you had to lop off one segment of this film, what would you get rid of? What would you scrap can?
Robin Williams.
I'm going to go with Robin Williams. Right. You know what? Give me a wink and a nod. Show me him as the moon's face, and then let's move on to Uma Thurman, who we haven't talked about. What do you think about this? Her first film comes in on an audition. Boom, you have a beautiful face. Take your clothes off.
Yeah.
You're in Baron Munchausen.
What you think of her?
And the robing of Venus. I mean, that's some beautiful film work right
I'm
there.
With you.
I like that part. You know, the clamshell. That's come on now.
I wasn't hating that.
It was enough to where I. It was enough to where I perked up on the couch and actually paused it and said, "Oh, I'll see that again."
Watch your language.
The whole body perked up.
But her performance wasn't that great.
Well, she didn't have a whole lot.
No, she didn't. Well. We're talking about Uma Thurman. Let's talk about everything other than just her curves.
Right. And then the nip slip. Right. How did this movie get a PG?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. It was
88.
They had a nipple. They had a fat woman naked. They had multiple decapitations. They had big themes. Fake sex. Yeah, big themes.
But lopped heads. Big fish. Language.
Yeah, no language.
No. But
and it felt kind of classy. They were classing it up still.
No. You know, classing up the joint.
But you know what? You lead me to a point here, Hoodie. It's not so much about a performance as it is a presence. Sometimes there's a very different things.
Hmm. Sure.
Her performance wasn't she didn't say anything. But her presence was good. I could understand why people walked out of the theater and go, and they're saying to themselves, wow, that's someone I wouldn't mind seeing again in a film. Right.
Yeah. Well, I can see why they wouldn't mind seeing her again. Hell, I'd like to see her again.
Sarah Polley was a little annoying, do you think?
Yeah.
That whole thing was... A distraction.
Teeth. Yeah, the teeth were just the worst.
Yeah, the teeth, for crying out loud.
It looked like someone glued some chiclets up in her gums.
He's Baron Munchausen.
I found her annoying. I'm sorry.
She was annoying.
She was cute, yeah, but...
I want to give one compliment here that I've got to bring up, and I meant to go look this up in the credits to see who did the makeup. That is the second best old man makeup I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
It was second only to really Max von Sydow and The Exorcist. It was second only to that. It was fantastic.
Okay, so
it was really well done.
You want to go Benjamin Button's?
It was nominated for an Oscar for best makeup too.
Was it really? Validated. Thank you.
No, Max usually has a good eye on this kind of thing.
What did it lose to, Adam?
Hang on, it lost to
The Exorcist.
It was nominated for four.
It lost to Driving Miss Daisy.
Well, thanks for going out on a high note there, Gumbo.
Yeah, I want to say something nice about it.
had great makeup and.
And Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, right. A little bit of nip slip. Okay. Let's go over to Hoodie on last words. Hoodie, you want to end this thing on anything in particular? You want me to move on? What? Nothing? You want to leave it where it is?
Good concept.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Big broad stroke.
Poorly
good
executed.
Concept.
Got a little ambition.
I like getting the gang back together. I like seeing that they were all decrepit and didn't remember and all of them had their own problems. And yeah, I thought that was a good concept. It could have gone somewhere, but.
Decrepit and can't remember. Is that the way we're going to be when we get
it was
the
like
game
a fairy tale version of the Blues Brothers.
That's exactly it. Well, his legs were all skinny. The sniper, you know, was
blind. See.
Right.
The guy with the big ears couldn't hear. I thought that was a nice touch. I really liked that. That's very
fairy tale. The strong guy was really weak and timid.
Loved it.
Right.
What about you, Savage? What do you want to end with?
He's gone funny.
If you like audacity, if you like bombast and whimsy and fantasy, you should like this film. A little Terry Gilliam can go a long way, and this is a lot of Gilliam. For me, that's not enough.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with you there. It's a little Gilliam goes a long way, kind of like Robin Williams. This was just, I think that was what really took it over the edge for me. It was just too much.
Yeah, it needed to be streamlined. I just wanted to care a little bit more about the people. I wanted to find out more about their stories. Okay, we know you can dazzle us with makeup. You can dazzle us with set. Dazzle me a bit with some depth. All right, not just chunk. Here's this. It'll make it a cohesive experience. But the more I think about it, I remember a lot from this film. I do like, who's the guy I like?
Oliver Reed.
That guy.
Oliver Reed.
I like the performances. That did a lot for me. I'm going to stay 6, Savage. I can't go 7. But you know what? Tomorrow, if you asked me, I could bump up. It has some longevity and some legs. I'm going to stay 6. What about you guys?
I'll stick with a 5. I'll give it some credit for what it did well.
3. Hoodie was bored.
Bored.
Too much.
I'm with him. I was bored, too.
Yeah, I was also bored, but I liked it at the same time.
Staying
at what?
Staying
5?
5.
I'd like to go to a 30, please. Just mark me down for a 30.
Too bad. Not happening. You said you were going to champion this film. You said you were going to stand tall with this film. Yeah. I think you did, and you will stay 10.
Yeah, I'm not interested in your reality, and I'm glad I'm not part of it.
If I could go 6.5, I would, but 6. All right, so that's it. Baron Munchausen. I keep saying just Baron Munchausen. That's not what this is. This is The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Baron von Munchausen.
Right. It was supposed to be called The Madness and Misadventures of Baron Munchausen, but then they went through the whole studio change thing.
That's a long poster.
It is.
All right, so that's it. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, 1988. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop here. Listen to a piece of The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, 1988, Terry Gilliam.
What's this? Oh, this is our prototype. RX Intercontinental. Radar sneaky, multi-warheaded nuclear missile.
What does it do?
Kills the enemy. All their wives and all their children and all their sheep and all their cattle and all their cats and dogs. All of them. All of them gone for good.
That's horrible.
Well, you see, the advantage is you don't have to see one single one of them die. You just sit comfortably thousands of miles away from the battlefield and simply press the button.
Well, where's the fun in that?
That was a piece right there, and that's what we just got him talking about, too. Just finished up the conversation. Inspired something. Top three. They all do. Top three fantastical adventures. Did I say it right, Max?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Consolation prize, probably nothing. Right. Let's go over to Hard Sub Savage. What do you say? You want to kick it off with him?
Sure.
Yeah, because you started it.
Yeah.
You started it, Savage.
I'll start.
Top three fantastical adventures in film. Number three, what is it?
I went with films that made me think of what this one did. I guess we're going to have our own interpretations. But my number three is another Gilliam film. I'll go with Brazil.
Sure.
It's a little more dystopian than this, but it's very similar in the vein.
Did you like it better than this? Well, you can't like much better than this.
It's different. It's just different. I like it equally as much for different reasons. But the biggest reason is I like Gilliam's filmmaking.
Keeping it in the family. He's going straight Gilliam for number three. So let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie, patron saint, number three, fantastical adventures. What's yours?
Sure. When I was watching this, I was also thinking of Mirror Mask that was written by the lovely Neil Gaiman and his illustrator, Dave McKean, I think, directed it.
I have no idea what this film
Gaiman?
Is.
Gaiman? Did he write that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember liking that a lot. That's
Mirror Mask.
Good pick. It's a Jim Henson.
Okay. And it does remind me of this one. And it's one of those, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so it brought that to the surface. What year was this film?
Beats me.
Okay.
2003?
I think it's 2005. Hang on.
Well, it couldn't have been Henson.
Get back to us on that, producer.
Remember Henson.
Mirror Mask for you. Okay. Max Gumbo Johnson, Unload.
2005.
Woohoo. Number three.
Okay. Number three, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh, nice.
Never saw it. Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh,
I mean,
good,
it takes place almost in another world. You don't know what's going on. And then she sees those big pigs with the horns. Then she's petting them. And it's like, what is going on
How
here?
Many times have you seen this film?
I've seen it about three times.
The more I watch it.
Great
ending. Made me stand up and cheer kind of ending. Yeah.
Loved it. Wasn't crazy about it the first time I saw it, to be honest, because it didn't live up to my expectations. Mm-hmm. Watched it a couple more times. I like it more and more every time I watch it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's go over to producer number three. Good answer, Max.
Thank you.
Didn't think about it. You inspire me. I want to be inspired by the producer and his number three. What is it?
I got to go classic. Same, using the same characters in different roles. Wizard of Oz.
Okay. It's not on my list at all. I suck.
Somebody had to say it.
Yeah. Right?
Why did I not even think of that film? Stupid. That's a great answer. Yeah. That may be the quintessential answer.
Well, it's not my favorite.
Well, it's better than not having it on your list.
Right.
Yeah.
I hang my head in shame, but I'm going to redeem myself with my number three. You know what it is?
Well, this better be good.
This is an adventure. Now, listen, not all adventures are ones you want.
Is it whimsical?
No, but just ask the guys in Deliverance.
What? Is that fantastical?
How is that fantastical?
I don't know. It was an adventure.
It wasn't fantastic for them.
Yeah.
That was completely based in reality.
Okay, look, this was on the fence for me. But, when you go off with your buddies, we're going to go on an adventure.
This adventure.
No, I don't. I don't want this particular adventure, okay? Right. You go off down the river. You're with your friends. What do you think? They had an adventurous spirit. It's an adventure film. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you kind of are.
Yeah, you did not redeem yourself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, damn it.
Not a fantastic
do you have an alternative number three?
I thought it would be kind of a kooky answer for an adventure.
Kooky? Deliverance has never been kooky.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
You misspelled it.
God, you have a pretty mouth.
There's another C in there.
Such a pretty
I will not. I'm not going there.
Yeah, screw it. I'm sticking with it. All right. That's a scary adventure.
Okay.
That kooky, a scary adventure kooky number three.
No.
I failed.
I veto it.
Okay, I've been vetoed. Hard Sub Savage, going around the table, number two. Let me know. What is it?
I'll go old school, not quite as old school, but Barbarella.
That's even a worse answer than Deliverance.
No, it's not. It's a way better answer than Deliverance.
There, yeah.
It's whimsical and impish.
And fantastical.
So what? Didn't have Ned Beatty in it.
No, it did not.
Unfortunately. And didn't have a guy getting shot with an arrow in it.
Well, it didn't have pig sounds either, so.
Yeah, that's a Barbarella's a way better. I have
By the way, I don't know why I'm bringing that to the argument,
right,
but.
Right.
I'm not sure you grasp the whole idea of this list.
I'm going to redeem myself.
Okay.
I've got two more shots. All right.
Okay, my number two is Black Hawk Down.
Number one, Schindler's List.
Shut up. Shut up.
When they got on the train, that was great.
I knew you were in for a trip. Top three.
Yeah, don't make me do a dance. I'll do a dance. I'll do a tango. A tango. Hoodie, bail me out. Number two, what?
Stardust, another Gaiman.
All right.
I'm a big fan.
Of Gaiman?
Of Neil Gaiman.
Is this a Neil Gaiman appreciation episode?
For me, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I love him.
I might need to watch that film. I don't think I've ever seen the film.
It's pretty good.
It's okay.
It's pretty
Story's
good.
Better than the film, but
it's a fantastic.
I'm on a thread.
I'm doing a theme.
Right.
Do you like the adventure angle on that? Does that work?
It works better. I like the fantastical adventure theme on that one.
There's
way
a
more
flying boat in this one.
Yeah, I mean, right. Come on.
Still didn't have Ned Beatty. Max, number two for you. What is
geez,
it?
Jeez Louise.
Thelma and Louise? Oh.
Number two, Yellow Submarine.
Okay. The Beatles.
The Beatles. There's a hole in me pocket. That was totally, I mean, it was like
crazy.
It was like an LSD trip on film.
Yeah,
it was.
Exactly.
And it was whimsical and impish.
That's a good answer, too.
And great it had the soundtrack. Blue meanies and the love finger. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm coming in last on this list.
You
kind of are.
Producer, bump it up. Number two, what?
Love my Jim Henson Labyrinth.
I wanted to go with a dark themed adventure. That's my theme within a theme.
Black Hawk Down.
Nope, shut up.
Eat, pray, love.
Listen, I Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. There's so many places I could go. I'm going to stick with my dark theme. I'm not going to let you throw me off. I'm going Wake and Fright. That is an adventure in the desert.
What?
Why is it not an adventure?
I don't think you understand.
There are no fantasy elements whatsoever.
Adventure shouldn't have raping and pillaging.
Kangaroo eating.
It can.
You want me to choose something else?
No.
There are no fantasy elements to deliver.
Maybe to Michael there are.
Listen.
Yeah, you've picked two movies with male rape.
Did not.
Is that your fantasy?
You know what? I did not think about this. What's wrong with me?
Wow.
I'm learning so much about you. We might need to sit down and have a chat after this one. No, listen, but here's my train of thought.
With your psychiatrist.
The guy gets off the bus or whatever it was.
I'm glad you finished that thought.
Okay. Let's move on. Okay. At least let me finish my train of thought.
Yeah, say it.
I can't wait to hear number one.
Yeah. I think, listen, the
I spit on your grave.
Number one, Serbian film.
The number one's going to bring me back up, but let's go over to Savage.
It's the quintessential fantasy film that we all grew up with and we all know and love and revere. It is The Wizard of Oz, number one.
Okay.
Yep.
My answers suck. What am I doing? I've got Deliverance and Wake and Fright.
Are you picking up a theme of what we're talking about?
I was trying to be interesting. Yeah. Dark adventures.
Darkness.
Yeah. I deserve that, by the way. Hoodie, number one, what is yours?
The only other movie that can rival Wizard of Oz, which is The Last Starfighter.
That's on my list. It's on my list. It was on my list, but I wanted to go dark adventures. I left it off. Mm. Max, number one, lay it down.
Number one is, most people have not seen it. It's called Alice. It's this Russian interpretation of Alice in Wonderland. It is the most psychedelic, freakish, surreal movie I have ever seen in my life. If you've never seen it, it's on Netflix.
It's either Polish or Russian.
I can't remember. For
is it subtitled or is it American?
There's really not much dialogue in it.
Because I think I've seen it.
Oh, it's crazy. It is insane.
Huh. Interesting. We may have to get into that. That sounds like an interesting chat right there.
Oh, it's something to talk about.
Number one, producer, lay it down.
I actually have a tie here.
A tie?
Ooh.
Really?
Oh, first of all, yeah. I'm going to steal Matt's trifecta here. Well, I'm shocked he didn't go with it. Coraline.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like that.
And the other one would be, hands down, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I
can see that
there.
For you.
You know what? His dark adventures are better than mine.
That's kind of a dark
You know what
adventure.
My number one dark adventure is?
You could go Beetlejuice.
I'm going Prometheus.
Oh, that's not bad.
Thank you. Woo! Sci-fi. I still suck. Well, look, you're going to go out into the outer stratosphere of the universe.
An adventure.
Unknown.
There's no whimsy.
I didn't say whimsy. Well, I was going dark, savage, dark. That's what I'm talking about.
You would have done better to pick 2001. At least it had some fantastical elements there.
I should stick with
still
what I know.
Dark.
See what happens when I get overcreated.
Yeah, like
you know,
man rape?
You know what I did? I went Gilliam on myself. I went overambitious.
Oh.
I went overambitious.
But then you brought it back. You see what you just, you brought it back.
I didn't bring
great.
It back enough.
That was fantastic.
Hey, I put this out on Twitter. You want to know what we got back?
Sure.
Patrick Guder at Goods10. Wesley's quest to get Buttercup back.
Mm.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Yeah, we mentioned that last week, I think.
Yeah.
That gets brought up a lot, doesn't it? Matter of fact, I brought it up
I had never-ending story on the list, and I didn't say it because I said it last week.
Yeah, we say that a lot. Craig was here at Craigimus Max. Says Monster Squad, Explorers.
Monster Squad.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm, yeah.
Sparky Parker at... guy's name is Sparky Parker at _ mildly amusing. He said, would Bill and Ted count?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first one, yeah.
They called Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
For me. How about TalkieGazette.com at TalkieGazette? Absolutely the Last Starfighter, Flight of the Navigator.
Whoa.
Explorers, E.T. This guy's going out into outer space.
Yeah, sci-fi.
Scott Martinson at Skunk TP. Wait.
Yeah.
No, let me re-say this now. Scott Martinson at Skunk TKP, says Time Bandits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Hall, Marvelous Zombie, 616, Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that one. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. So that's our Twitter shout-out right there.
Cool. I noticed nobody on Twitter said Deliverance.
Or Big Fish. Was there?
I got
yeah, Big Fish. Yeah. I thought about that when I was like, I don't want to put that.
Or, I had some honorable mentions.
Go
the
ahead.
Matrix, The Cell, Cool World, and James and the Giant Peach.
And The Fall.
And The Fall was my next one. Look at that.
Yeah, it was, really.
It stole my list.
My top honorable mention is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, good one.
Our I mean, there was adventure, a chicken getting really? Their head cut okay. off in it.
Then, yeah. That's better than Deliverance.
Yeah. The girl ate a piece of gum and turned into a blueberry. And
Veruca Salt.
Yeah, that was...
Mike TV.
Yeah.
And then one that popped up to me when Adam stole my number one was the Dark Crystal. Speaking
Dark
of
Crystal was on my Dark Crystal. Yeah.
What about Up?
Up's great, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
What about Sideways?
No.
Oh, God,
damn it.
No. That should have been your number one.
No, I wasn't dark enough. I was going with dark.
How about I spit on your grave, like Adam said? I'm like Matt said.
Oh, my God. How about we move on and wrap this thing up? That was our top three fantastical adventures, which I didn't do well at.
But next week's something special, isn't it?
Next week is something special. Let me tell you what that is. We're going to hand this over to Radio Appreciate, one of our stations.
Yeah.
We're going to appreciate them.
Sure.
We're talking about KXTR.
Stephenville, Texas.
Stephenville, Texas.
Yeah.
Been chatting quite a bit with Lance.
Yeah.
He's, I believe, the station manager over there.
Yeah,
he's the man.
Manager.
He's the guy, yeah. Right? Yeah, we handed it over to him. We said, you know what, thanks for riding along with Q over the last, I don't know how many, several months.
Yeah.
Why don't you pick the film? I liked what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Want me to reveal this?
Did he put it to a poll
don't
at the office?
Don't lose your head on this one, Max. We're talking about new classic horror. 1985, he says, talk about it, Reanimator.
All
right. Awesome.
I'll talk about that one.
Yeah, it's a good film. It's where John Carrey gets his head
classic.
Cut off with a shovel. Yeah, that's next week. KXDR appreciation episode brought to us by Lance, our good buddy Lance.
All right.
Good job, Lance.
Darn right. We're going to bring some facts in about that next week. But
it's going to get more than a 29.
1985. Reanimator. A lot of people like this one. I haven't seen it in, well, I have now, but before this request, I hadn't seen it in like 26 years. I think a lot of people might like this conversation.
That's a pretty specific number.
Well, in my brain, I went back. It was 26 years. I remember when I watched it.
Because
right. I remember the girl I was with. See?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you remember Barbara Crampton.
No. I can tell you exactly when I watched Deliverance, too, Max.
I bet you can.
Year after year after year. Anytime I want to go on an adventure, I put in Deliverance. What do you think of that?
Ooh,
that is not good information. Please,
remind
please.
Remind me to never go camping with you.
So sorry. That's this week. This was the show. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. We talked some Gilliam. We talked some fantastical adventures.
So, we talked fantastical adventures.
Yeah, I sat that one out. So that's where this one ends. And as always, thank you for tuning into The Q. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on the film we just discussed, or anything for that matter, you can do it. You go to theqfilmcast.net. Always happy to hear from you. So join us again next week. We're going to queue it up. We're going to knock it down. Reanimator 1985 KXDR, chosen by Lance out of Stephenville, Texas. So we are going to queue it. We are going to review it. And tell them, what did you say? Good night. Can you see?